Welcome to Crossroads, a podcast that explores the intersection of faith and Christian living. Crossroads is part of the media ministry at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Get to know us by visiting us online at fapc.org.
Hi, this is Jamie Staley, and I'm the Director of Christian Education at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church. Welcome to Crossroads Podcast. I am excited to be sitting down in this new year, 2026, with our senior pastor, Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston, to talk about our upcoming winter sermon series and adult education series called Shall We Long Endure? The American Experiment and the Christian Faith. And we just wanted to have a chat about what it was that sparked the interest in doing this series and what we are hoping that all of you at home will be able to take from this series. So welcome, Scott. I'm so glad you were able to join me again.
It's good to be with you as always, Jamie.
So let's just start off with the question. What was it that sparked your interest that made you think that this was the right time for our church to be talking about this particular topic?
Good question. Really, there are two answers to that question. The first is a short one, and that's simply to acknowledge that 2026, the United States will be celebrating on the 4th of July its 250th birthday. And there are all kinds of ways in which the country is marking it. Museums are having various exhibits, and there will be special fireworks celebrations and hoopla on the 4th itself. There's the new Ken Burns series on PBS, which, by the way, I highly commend to you good listeners. If you haven't dipped your toe in those waters yet, he's done it again. It's really a wonderful series. I'm learning so much. It's so evocative about the challenges that the founders faced. So there are all those things going on, and I thought, you know, it would be appropriate for the church to come alongside and to have its own way of thinking through what this 250th year celebration means, what it signifies, what we see as the things to celebrate and the challenges that lie before us going forward. So that's the first answer to your question. And the second answer is really, I have not in my entire career in ministry or in my life as a Christian been involved in so many questions, conversations about the nature of our founding documents, especially the Constitution, but other documents as well, and whether or not we think we're about to depart from the guardrails that they established from them for this country in the current political situation. And so those two things together really got me thinking about this. And then I got into conversation with you, and we cooked up this 5 weeks of sermons and adult education events. And I think, I hope, I pray that it will be of value to people of faith.
Thanks. What can you tell us a little bit about the series? Like, what you know, you've talked about holding the Bible in one hand and these documents in the other. What documents are you going to be looking at? How are you going to be pairing those, you know, in our sermon series?
Yeah. So the idea is, as you accurately put it, is that for the sermon parts of this, we're going to be pairing a biblical text together with one of America's most important documents. And there you could go on and on listing America's most important documents, and I'm sure some of our listeners will have ones that they think we should be focusing on that we're not, but we only have 5 weeks. And so here are the five that we've chosen for our series. We're going to start with the Declaration of Independence. We're going to move to the Constitution in week two, to the Bill of Rights in week three, to the Gettysburg Address in week four, which is a different sort of document. Not all these documents are, they don't all have actually legal standing. In fact, it's only the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that have legal standing. The Declaration of Independence does not. Finally, we're going to end with Martin Luther King's letter from the Birmingham jail. And so those five documents will be paired with biblical texts. We'll be examining, for example, related to the Declaration of Independence, which declares freedom from Great Britain, which assigns a bunch of grievances against that country for the way it had been treating the colonies. We're going to pair that together with a discussion of what does freedom mean to a Christian. So we'll look at some classic texts, probably from the Apostle Paul, about the freedom of a Christian and what that is. So another way to kind of get at your question, which I think is a really interesting one, is just a personal experience. All my life, when I have worshiped in African-American churches, I've been taken with the fact that African-American clergy often in their sermons make appeal to American documents. It could be the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. It could be the Gettysburg Address, but it could also be legal decisions, Brown versus Board of Education, things like that. I'm used to being in African-American worship settings where those important conversations that happened in America's history that resulted in certain documents are very much in the room. I haven't experienced that so much in non-Black congregations, and I've thought a lot about that over, you know, why are African-American congregations so interested in this? And I think the answer, which I intend to talk about in the first sermon in the series, but I think the answer is something like this. When you are concerned about your relationship to the state, you want to examine very carefully what the state says its relationship is to you, to see whether they're adhering to their promises, to see if they're doing what they say they're supposed to be doing. And so I think that's also becoming more of interest right now across the American population. What is the state supposed to be doing? Where did it get these ideas from? And is it being fair in the way that it addresses justice, you know, immigration issues, you know, all manner of things that the state has control over? So.
Yeah. The title of this series, Shall We Long Endure, seems like it could be some doomsday situation there. What worries you as we ask whether the American experiment will long endure? What signs worry you?
So those words come, of course, from the Gettysburg Address. They're powerful. Lincoln was a brilliant orator, truly. And I find that question that he puts in the air there, and it's a real question for him. It's not just a political thing that he's going to kind of bounce around. It's a real question is, you know, shall this nation conceived in liberty, you know, long endure? And I think it harkens back, you know, to the Declaration of Independence, you know, so conceived in liberty, can we maintain that, you know? And Lincoln at that moment seems to be saying, this is hard. And I think that that's actually helpful to hear a president of the United States look at a war-torn country and say, it's very hard to hold up to our ideals. I think that's a message that any high school, you know, I think it's one of the reasons why they teach the Gettysburg Address in high schools. It's so you can think about it not just on a nation, not a national political way, but also in a personal way. You know, how hard is it to live up to this? And so, you know, I think I didn't intend it to be a doomsday question, but it is a question that I do hear echoing through a lot of the editorialization from both the right and the left and the center in these times. And I think there's real concerns that the divisiveness, the political divisions in this country are at such a fever pitch that it puts the foundations of the country itself at some degree of risk. You know, and then you can have all sorts of arguments because nobody wants to be Chicken Little saying the sky is falling. The sky is falling, but also nobody wants to be the person who's standing there, you know, with their mouth open when the sky falls. So it's, you know, I think what a good, faithful, excuse me, Christian is trying to do right now is to prayerfully consider, you know, what is happening, you know, and how much is the very fabric of the country, you know, at risk by the way we're behaving.
Yeah. And if I flip that question, what signs do you see in our current moment that give you hope?
Yeah, there's a lot of signs, and most of them, I mean, the phrase that I keep repeating, which is a phrase I first heard from my dear friend Tom R., is do the good that's yours to do, which is to kind of keep people, you know, urge people to have an eye as to what's going on in a broad scope, but not to become apathetic or fearful or, you know, withdrawn in the midst of things that they don't like happening at like a national or international level, and thus to stay as committed Christians to being agents of God's good in this world. And I see that all around and every day. I see people continuing to treat each other with kindness and not knowing whether or not the other person has a different political view from their own. And that gives me encouragement. It's almost like a sine curve. There are times when we seem to care more about our neighbor's politics and times when we don't care about them at all. And that's interesting to watch happening. Now is a moment when we seem to care a lot. But still, even in the midst of this moment, when tragedy strikes, when disasters appear, you see people coming together in this country, giving each other comfort, lending each other a hand, you know, extending generosity and grace. And that gives me a great deal of hope. I think the core, underneath it all, the core is good. I think the thing that probably, you know, I'm flipping back to the worry thing for a moment. The thing that gets me most agitated is when politicians cannot pass on an opportunity to fan the flames of division in a country that's already so divided. And that's worrisome. It's worrisome because everyone isn't ignoring them. You know, some people are, and they're like, oh, just ignore them, but everybody's not. And so when politicians fan the flames of division, it does make matters worse. It's not just idle rhetoric. And it matters. It matters what you say. It matters how you describe people that you don't agree with. If you call them enemies, that puts them in a different category. An enemy is a different, now, maybe not for Jesus. We can go there in a minute if you want to and talk about loving your enemies, which I think is the most radical thing that he ever said. But for most people, when they hear a politician describe somebody else as an enemy, they're not thinking, oh, well, then I need to pray for them like Jesus said. They're like, no, this person is an agent of evil who's, you know, if they get their way, will bring about horrific things. That's what an enemy does. And so To find our enemies in our midst all the time right now, that's a rough stress on the system.
So I guess so we're putting on this lens that of our faith and of these words and of Jesus. What do you hope the lens that folks will see through, you know, in the ways that it shapes the way that they are, that we are relating to public life and to public debate? How do you hope that this will help them look at that differently?
Yeah. So I think, so this is another answer to your initial question.
Okay.
My first way of responding to this is, as an undergraduate, I was a religion and history major. So part of what's happening here is my two majors are still, you know, having a conversation in my head. But I think it's important to have, to put our Christian theological conversation, to put Christian theology in conversation with the American experiment. And why? So there's a contemporary answer to that, but there's a historical answer first. The historical answer is the founders, or the people that wrote these documents that I'm talking about, had faith of different sorts. So Jefferson had a certain kind of deistic faith. Deism is a way of talking about a faith that was sort of like, was Jefferson a Christian? Well, kind of. I mean, he sort of had his own approach to the Christian faith. If you ask him, he probably would have said yes, that he was, but he was suspicious of a lot of Christian preachers, and yet he was convicted also by faith. He saw, I mean, Jefferson pens the words, he puts the words down, you know, all men are created equal. And he owned slaves. And he realized that this was an enormous contradiction. And it was sort of like listening to me. It reminds me of St. Augustine. Augustine is like, God, praise to God, please stop me from sinning, but not quite yet, because it's too good. For Jefferson, it's like, please, you know, stop me from the sin of slaveholding, but, you know, the South is so dependent upon this source of free labor that that's our economy would collapse without it, you know, so I can't give it up. And so, you know, he realizes, if you will, his own sin. And so, I mean, I think that's just an interesting thing when you talk about, you know, what are we going to get out of it for today, to realize that it's possible to say, oh, I love the Constitution, and yet not really be wanting to hold to what the Constitution asks in terms of separation of powers and you know, various things, to still want to use it as a lever to get your own way, and sometimes a way that is a sinful way. And so I think it's interesting to have that conversation. It's why I think religion should be in the mix, because I think it has the best explanation for why we keep having problems, you know, and you know, to me as a Calvinist, that always comes back to, we've had this conversation on podcasts before, it comes back to an understanding of humanity as fundamentally imperfect and broken, and needing grace and salvation, you know, in order to, you know, make it through the day. And so I don't know whether I just answered your question or not, but that's sort of the arc that my head is going in right now.
Yeah. So I can hear already the folks who are anxious and just exhausted by political divisiveness, and just tired of, you know, trying to figure out where the line is and what they are supposed to be thinking and feeling. What wisdom from our faith and from this series do you hope that people carry with them as they navigate this, all of what's happening in our country right now?
Right. So the first thing I want to say is I get it. and I too am exhausted by it. And I think about this every single week, every time I sit down to a blank screen and start working on a sermon. I think about, do I address the latest furore or not? And it's not, to me, it's not a question of, am I afraid of it or not? It's really, I'm at a point in my career where I sort of don't care about that piece of it so much. I'm not trying to establish myself, you know, as a preacher or a pastor. I'm trying to tell the truth, but that telling the truth every week doesn't necessarily mean responding to the latest, you know, political crisis of the week and back and forth and calling out, you know, those who are not telling the truth. I'm not just another pundit. And I also have always on my plate when I sit down to that blank computer screen, the memories of other conversations that I've had throughout the week that are not political at all, you know, about a marriage that may be struggling or a parent who's worried about their child and substance abuse or just, you know, the whole laundry list of things that humankind struggles with on a day-to-day basis that doesn't have anything to do with what's on the front page. And so sometimes I'm veering that way, not out of avoidance, but out of, you know, of the politics, but out of trying to embrace, you know, a word that can be heard by those folks. And so to your question is, you know, what do you say to those who are exhausted by it all is, I get that. And I think this concentrated series, this 5 weeks, because then after that we'll be into Lent and we'll be into a different set of things. It's intended to give people sort of theological places to stand no matter what conversation's we're having. So if we're talking about the Constitution and something, you know, happening in Washington, D.C., they have a place to stand that's not just, I'm not a constitutional law expert, but I do think a lot about how the founders were navigating, you know, certain faith-based ideas as they set up the laws of this country. And I think it's important to have some sense of that when you want to reflect on it, converse about it. I think it makes you actually more secure rather than less secure. Otherwise, you know, if you're just listening to somebody and some politician saying, well, so-and-so is, you know, running a tractor trailer back and forth over the top of the Constitution this week, to be able to have an informed opinion as to whether or not that's true, what that means, you know, what that might entail. I think it, what I would hope is that this series equips Christians to think from a faith-based perspective about some of these debates.
Yeah, that's very helpful. And I know I hope that the parallel adult education will expand that, what you're doing in the sermon series. I know we're going to have a panel discussion with some folks in our congregation, which is pretty exciting.
We've got some really wonderful attorneys who are more experts on constitutional law and who have bring both their expertise and their own faith-based opinions about some of the issues that our country is facing right now. And I'm really grateful to them for bringing themselves and their knowledge to the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we've got some good scholars coming in.
Yes, yeah. Excited for a couple great speakers who are going to help us to expand those conversations about this topic as well. So I have one final question for you, and this one is more personal. What gives you courage and clarity as you try to live faithfully in the public square?
So, honestly, and I think you and I may have touched on this a little before, but I have found in the last, I'm going to say 6 years or so, and I'm not going to peg it to just any one political figure, because I think the political figures are who they are, but there's something deeper going on. They're a reflection of something deeper going on in our society. But I have found the story of our faith to be more compelling, more important, more relevant than I've ever found it in my entire life. I think the story, you know, of a baby born in poverty in Bethlehem that is visited by magi and shepherds, that has to flee because of an evil king, Herod, away from, you know, a brutal attack on innocence. I think these stories have this resonance. They reverberate with the events of the day. Events in the world, events in our country, and a story that then evolves from there to this Jesus of Nazareth, who is teaching, preaching, healing, loving on people in the midst of the context of a foreign occupation with Roman brutality and taxation, and a government that people feel like they have zero control over, and they're just trying to live their lives, and they're trying to be faithful to God and to love their neighbor. At least that's what Jesus is calling them to do, and even to extend charity and to those who they're at odds with. And I'm not just talking about the love your enemy, but also the, you know, the Samaritan is my brother too, you know. And so all of that, it just makes so much sense to me right now as an alternative to the back and forth table tennis game of politics. I think there is a clear third way in the faith. And I think that our faith has been at its strongest, not necessarily in terms of numbers, but it's been at its crystalline strongest when it's leaned into that.
Mm. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for sitting down with me today.
Always a pleasure.
To chat about this. I'm really excited for the series to start. And folks at home, you can check out our website, FAPC.org, for more information about the sermon series and all of the events that will be related to it as well. So
thank you, Jamie. I hope that you all will participate in the series, in the adult education events. I really think we're going to be uncorking something special here in January and February.
Absolutely. Happy New Year, friends.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Crossroads. Our managing editor is Jamie Staley, and our editors are Vashina Brisbane and Emily Dombroff.